If you would, turn with me to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, and I want to begin with verse 12 and read about Paul as he relates his conversion to Agrippa. Acts chapter 26, beginning with verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And I want to stop reading there with verse 23. You know, we speak a lot, and I'm sure that you have heard a lot of sermons. Many of you here today anyway have heard a lot of sermons in your life about the way of salvation, about the conditions of salvation. I mean, you've heard no doubt many times that repentance and faith are conditions of salvation. We hear a lot about how that we are saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. We're saved by God's unmerited favor. But what I want to talk to you about today is why that we that are saved are saved. Why have we been saved? And the title that I would like to use is simply Saved for a Purpose. And I want to go back and I want you to pay attention here for a moment again to what the Lord Jesus said that day to Saul of Tarsus out there on that road to Damascus. And we find it recorded in verse 16. Jesus said, But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Now we read, just a few verses later on, we begin to read how Paul obeyed the Lord in that. He said, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto that. I was not disobedient unto that heavenly vision. But I showed first the people at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and trust the Lord for salvation. And so, the Apostle Paul was trying to fulfill the purpose for which the Lord had appeared unto him. Now, you and I may do things at times without much purpose. We may do something. You've seen people perhaps when you were in school in class or something, maybe in homeroom or something, you'd take your pencil and a piece of paper and you'd just, mark on a piece of paper and somebody'd say, "What are you doing?" "I'm just doodling. I'm just doing something here without purpose. I'm bored. I need something to do." And you and I, we do things in life, sometimes that really doesn't have much purpose to it at all. But I'm going to tell you something, that everything that God does, He does with purpose. God doesn't do anything just to be doing something. Everything that He has, everything that God does, rather, has a purposed end to it. It has something that God is setting out to accomplish. He doesn't do anything arbitrarily. God is a God of great purpose. And I may ask this question. How many times and in how many situations in your life that you have been in that suddenly you realize, well, I'm just thinking of myself. I'm just focused on myself. I'm not looking at the big picture. I'm just thinking about me. Have you ever caught yourself being self-centered in something? And I think that oftentimes that we can even do that when it comes to our salvation. We can be self-centered about it. And I also believe that sometimes that we may confuse the benefits of salvation with the great purpose of salvation. David, after that he had been saved, and we read this in the 116th Psalm, after all that David had said about how the sorrows of death had compassed him, the pains of hell got hold upon him, he found trouble and sorrow, and it was in that state that he called upon the name of the Lord, and his prayer was, "O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." And we have evidence there that God heard his prayer and did that for him, because he said, "Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." And then later on in that 116th division of Psalms, David asks a question. He says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me?" And there are things that you and I receive that I believe are great benefits of salvation, but not necessarily the primary or the great purpose for which we were saved. And if I were to ask the question today, and you can just think about this in your own mind and in your own heart, and I would encourage you to do that. If I were to ask the question today of those of you that are here today that are blessed enough to be able to say, "I know that I've been saved." If I were to ask the question, why do you believe that you were saved? For what purpose? If we believe, and I got a lot of amens when I said that, if we believe that God does everything for a purpose, if we believe that the things that God does, He's not doing anything just to be passing time, but everything that He does with purpose, then when the Lord heard your prayer and saved your soul, for what purpose did He save you? Was it just in order that we may escape the damnations of eternal hell? I mean, some may think that. And I believe that when we do that, when we think that way, then we're certainly self-centered in that. We're looking at something that only affects us. But I'll tell you what, the Lord did not save any of us just for the purpose of missing eternal damnation. There's a greater purpose in that. If we look back to the very beginning of the Scriptures, if we go back to the book of Genesis and we read about the creation of man, when God took dust from the ground and formed a man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living soul, what was God's purpose in that? Why did God create man? Did He create man simply for him to have life and to have an existence and to go about doing whatever that he wanted to do? Well, certainly not. We find right there in the early chapters of the book of Genesis, I believe, why that God created man. He created man to serve Him. He created man to dress and to keep the garden, to take care of that which belonged to the Lord. And that's still the purpose today. Solomon, towards the end of his life, he realized that truly that was the great purpose of man. He wrote and he said, fear God. That's a reverent fear. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is what? The whole duty or purpose of man. That's why we're here. To fear God and keep His commandments, that is the whole purpose of man. And that is why I say that when a person is born into this world and they live their life and they die without God, folks, listen, that person missed the whole purpose for why they were ever even born. Their life was a waste. No matter what they accomplished, no matter what they built, no matter what they did with their hands, their life was a waste because they missed the whole purpose of why that they were ever on the earth. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, I love this verse. This verse succeeds the time that the 24 elders had taken their crowns and they had cast them down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And they said, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things and for Thy purpose. The Bible says pleasure, but that's essentially what it means. For Thy pleasure, they are and were created. Not for ours. You know, we were not created for our pleasure. There are so many people in the world today that they view life as nothing but, a good time, that they're here for no other purpose than to have a great time and to do this and do that and to satisfy the flesh however that they can and just live it up and party it up and have a great time. And folks, listen, that is a vain life. Sad, isn't it? Sad to think about being born. Sad to think about in our short span on earth. You know, life is something, our earthly life is something that, I mean, we all know we've only got one shot, don't we? We've only got one shot at getting it right. And it's just sad to me, it saddens my heart to think about the multitudes of people that have just wasted that, that have just wasted their purpose forever even being here. And listen, I want to say this to all of us here today that have been saved, and I especially want you younger Christians here today to realize this, that when God spoke peace to your soul, when He saved you from your sins, He saved you with a great purpose in mind. You know, we don't find here in the 26th chapter of Acts when the Lord Jesus appeared to Paul there, or Saul at that time there on the road to Damascus. We don't hear him saying to Saul, "I simply appeared unto you for this purpose, to save you that you would miss eternal damnation." No, he said, "For this purpose I have appeared unto you, that I might send you forth to be a light unto other people." Listen to what he wrote and said about it in his writing to the Ephesians. We may think, well, you know, God saved me for me. No, that's not what the Bible tells us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ," or "even as God for your sake hath forgiven you." No, it says, "even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." The Lord made man for His pleasure. Everything that He made was for His pleasure and for His purpose. He made man for that purpose. And, you know, when the Lord saves us, He saves us that, you know, we might serve Him, that we might honor Him with our lives. I'm afraid sometimes a person might get saved and they might get the idea, well, that's all there is to it. I've been saved now. I'm safe. My soul is secure forever and forever. There's nothing else to it. Friends, listen. That's not what salvation is about. God didn't save us for us to consume it selfishly. He saved us that we might serve Him, that we might honor Him with our lives. John chapter 14, the first three verses. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Isn't it evident in that short discourse of those three verses? Isn't it evident in that the Lord wants His people to be with Him? Jesus said, "I am going to prepare a place for you, and just as sure as I go, I will come again." Hallelujah! He's coming again. Folks, we're not stuck here. He's going to come and get us one of these days and take us home to be with Him. We're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Yes! Hallelujah! He's coming again. Coming again. Going to be a great sight for those that are saved, isn't it? But the Lord wanted us to be with Him. So why has He left us here? Why has He left us here? Why didn't He just save us and take us straight home to be with Him? I mean, that would have been better for us, wouldn't it? You know, listen, I know that it's hard to lose our loved ones. I've experienced that. You've experienced that. It's hard to say goodbye to people, but I'm going to tell you something. If you have lost loved ones in this life that were ready for the journey, you can take consolation in the fact that they are far better off than you are now. They're doing a whole lot better than you and I are doing. Why didn't he just take us home when he saved us? Well, there had to be a reason, didn't there? There had to be a purpose. There had to be a reason why that he left us here. Listen, if we were to believe, if you and I were to believe that the only reason, the only purpose for which God saved us would be in order that we might miss hell, then the church makes no sense, does it? It makes no sense. The Lord came into this world and in the flesh during the time of his ministry, he established his church. And he didn't do that without reason. He had great purpose in doing that. And that was that we find that, I believe, the work of the church, we find that recorded in the 24th chapter of Luke. We find it recorded in the 28th chapter of Matthew. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Why did the Lord Jesus establish his church? Was it not to do his work? Was it not to do his work here in the world? Was it not to spread the gospel to all nations of people? Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. Unto him, that's God, unto him be glory, how? In the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, the Lord Jesus spoke to his church, and he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you. No, you won't find that in there. That they may see your good works and that they may look at you and boast of how great a person you are. No, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Unto God be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. And church, listen, if we're not giving God the glory for everything, then we are missing the purpose. Unto him be glory. Oh, what a great thing that we have here. But it's not ours, is it? It doesn't belong to us. You know what? I didn't spill my blood to purchase the church. My blood wouldn't have been sufficient to purchase the church. But the Lord Jesus Christ loved the church and purchased the church with his own blood. And folks, I'm telling you something. It belongs to him. And whatever we do in the church, we better approach it in that light. We better give serious consideration to what we are dealing with and what we have been left to take care of, that which belongs to the Lord. Listen, when God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, he wasn't placing him in charge of something that man had made. God had planted that garden there in Eden, and he placed him in God's garden. And when we, those of us that are blessed enough to be members of his church, we are not tending to anything that was made by man. It was made by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it belongs to Him, and we better be real careful what we do with that which belongs to the Lord. I've seen, and I know that you have too, in my lifetime, so many things done in the Lord's church that was guided by nothing more than what that individual was looking for, was looking to get out of it themselves. Amen? I mean, that's true. And that's oftentimes, that's obvious that we are doing things in a way that, well, how is this going to benefit me if we make this move, if we make this motion? You know, this will be good for me. This will benefit me. But listen, our consideration ought to always be, what does the Lord want us to do? And how will it please the Lord? Will it please Him or will it not if we do this? And that ought to be our only consideration. I've heard churches before, no doubt you have too. I've heard churches before when their pastor had left and they were looking for a new pastor. And they're like, well, you know, who can we get that would be good for our youth? And who can we get that would be good for this and good for that? Let me tell you something, folks. When a church is looking for a pastor, there's only one question that that church ought to be asking. God, who would you have us to call? That's it. That's the only question that ought to be asked. That's the only question that ought to be asked when we are about to do anything in the church is, Lord, what would you have us to do? How would you have us to handle and take care of that which belongs to you? It's not about us, folks. It's not about us. It's not about what we want. It's about what the Lord wants and what makes the Lord happy. What's the greatest thing? I want to ask you this today, those of you that have been saved. What's the greatest thing about being saved? Is it that you won't have to spend an eternity in hell? What's the greatest thing? Certainly that's a great benefit. We'll miss hell, Brother Wheat. We won't have to ever feel the fire of that place. But you know, listen, I'm going to tell you what I believe is so great about being saved, is that when you've been saved, God has put you in a condition. God has created in you a condition that makes it possible for you to honor and glorify God with your life. Unto Him be glory. What about the church? What is the great blessing? What's the greatest blessing about being a part of the Lord's church? Is it the great benefits that we enjoy of what we experience here from time to time, of being able to come together and feel the presence of God, and you know, people begin to shout the praises of God, and we have the benefit of having brothers and sisters who we know love us and care about us and will pray about us when we're in dire situations? Is that the greatest of all things as far as being a member of the church? Well, listen, those things are about us, aren't they? Those are the things that benefit us. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. The greatest thing that the church does is she gives honor and glory unto God. And in being a member of the church, you have the privilege of being part of that which the Lord instituted and set up to do His work, to do something for the Lord, not for yourself, but to do something for the Lord. Is that not what He was telling Saul there on that road that day? If it's not, then I missed it. Is that not what he was telling him? You know, did Jesus say, "Listen, Saul, I have appeared unto you to save you, that one day your name will be common in the Scripture, that one day everybody's going to know the name of the Apostle Paul"? No. "Saul, I have appeared unto you for this purpose." Listen to it again. "To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." There's a great worship going on in heaven. And you know what? The Lord is being praised. And the Scripture, like we find in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, "God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Or what we find in 2 Peter chapter 3, that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not just for us to be saved. It's for us to one day gather around the throne of God's glory and worship him forever and forever and forever. I believe what the 24 elders did, and I can't explain all that certainly, but I believe what the 24 elders did is enough to show us that it's not about us. Whatever you may receive, however the Lord may bless you, however he may crown you, they took those crowns off. They just laid them down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And they said, "No, we'll praise you. We'll praise you because you're the one that created all things. And you didn't make them for us. It was for your pleasure that they are and were created." And don't misunderstand me, folks. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful blessing when you're saved that you won't have to spend an eternity in the awful torments of hell. What a wonderful blessing that is. But God saved us for a greater purpose even than that. That we might live our lives for him. That we might serve him. That we might tend to the things that belong to him, that we may gather one day in the great hallelujah chorus in heaven and sing praises to the Lord forever and forever and forever. The problems throughout the years, you can hang your hat on this. I promise you that this is true. The problems that have been caused throughout the years in the Lord's churches have been caused by people who wanted something to be about them. They wanted it to be about them and about their benefit, and not about the glory of God. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. When you leave here today, you remember that we were saved for a purpose. We were saved with great reason and great purpose in mind. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What did the Apostle Peter write? You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should live it up, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, and I'll close. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Wherefore God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If you're not living your life for the Lord, then you've missed the whole purpose. The whole purpose. We were saved and called out of the darkness to show forth His praises. Not our own, to show forth His praises. If you're here today and you're lost, you need to humble yourself before the Lord, and you need to seek Him with all of your heart for the salvation of your soul. If you don't, friends, if you miss heaven, if you miss being saved, if you miss honoring the Lord with your life, you're going to miss it all. No matter what you accomplish in this world, you're going to miss it all. So let's stand and let's have a song.